Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. More and more Americans are getting priced out of the housing market while making a six-figure salary. We'll check in with a Wall Street Journal reporter in a moment to go over the numbers. First, some money and market news you should know. If you've noticed prices going down at your local supermarket, you might have German discount chains Aldi and Lidl to thank. They're snatching up a larger share of grocery sales in the U.S. by offering a smaller selection at lower prices. And U.S. grocers are lowering prices on staples like milk and eggs, but they're upping the ante by adding products that the discounters aren't known for, such as fresh foods. But that's not where the food battle ends. Aldi and Lidl are now going beyond their no-frills model, adding more produce and baked goods, and renovating store interiors with brighter lighting and new layouts. Women have made significant gains in some fields where men once dominated, 50 years since they began entering the workforce en masse. But the gender lines aren't gone completely. A Wall Street Journal analysis of 5 decades of employment data shows that since 1970, women have made the biggest gains in the fields of psychology, education administration, and financial management. But they've actually lost ground as computer programmers, chefs, and inspectors and testers. The sectors with the most even mix of men and women are business and finance, along with legal and sales. There are still many jobs that continue to be done overwhelmingly by one sex or the other. For instance, women are still more likely to be secretaries or nurses, while men account for 85 to 95% of firefighters and police officers. A six-figure salary can help buy a lot of things, but more Americans are finding out it's not enough to buy a house. This year, about 20% of U.S. households earning $100,000 are still renting their homes, and home builders as well as investors are betting that trend will continue to grow. Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Dezember is here to explain. So, Ryan, it's not unusual for people to rent in pricey cities like New York and San Francisco, but what other regions of the country have seen renting on the rise?
Pretty much everywhere. You can sort of follow the good jobs and find these places. So you've got Denver, places like San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, Austin, Seattle, even Cincinnati, Nashville, Atlanta. Pretty much most major metropolitan areas had an increase. And in most areas, it's the fastest growing type of tenant is someone who earns six figures or more.
How are the housing developers responding to this growth in renting?
Well, it's more investors and to a degree, I guess, home builders. There's two ways to do it. There's people who are buying existing homes that are turned into rentals. Actually, there's three ways. There's a lot of luxury apartments going in downtowns, close to work, sort of catered to a younger worker, someone who may not have children, wants to sort of be in the center of the city, that sort of person. And then the rental home investors are taking it a step further now, no longer content to just wait till a house hits the market and buy it and dress it up and make it nice and turn it into a rental. They're building houses that are straight to rent, including some that are whole neighborhoods that are just, they look like any other subdivision. They might have a shared pool or something that might be more common in an apartment complex, but they're standalone rental homes.
Why are six-figure earners an attractive segment for the home rental companies?
Well, they can charge more rent. Frankly, we quote Dallas Tanner, who's the 39-year-old CEO of Invitation Homes, which is the biggest rental company in the country. They emerged from the housing crash. And he said very early on, they realized that it was about the same expense for them to maintain a house that they could rent for, say, $2,000 as it was for a house that was, they could rent for $1,300. So they skewed higher. That also, they wanted people with children who would be more willing to accept rent increases to stay in a home and thus, not disrupt their children's social lives or education. And so that was sort of their target when they started buying up homes after the foreclosure crisis last decade, was to be in these neighborhoods and attract that type of tenant, the family.
And with young kids, there's less of a chance of turnover. They'll stay in the houses for a longer time to raise the kids through the school systems
right.
And such.
Yeah, what they found is that, unlike apartments where the churn is very high, people are moving out almost every year on average or, every 2 years, people that are renting houses, the data set's not really complete because it's a relatively new thing for big companies to manage a lot, like tens of thousands of far-flung homes. But what they're finding is these people stay in their houses longer. And that's great for investors because every time someone moves out, it's costs to repair, to paint, to put in new carpet. It's weeks or months off of the market where they're not earning rent. And so the longer they can keep someone in, the better it is for the investors.
Now, what is the significance of the number of investors involved in home sales last year?
Well, investors bought the largest portion of the homes for sale that they've ever bought last year. And that was more than 11%, according to CoreLogic, which is a data firm that tracks this sort of thing. And what that tells us is, you know, it's hard to say exactly what the people are buying the homes for, but it's sort of a mixed bag of people who are buying them to rent and those who are buying them to flip, you know, to fix up and resell or just simply sell into a rising market. So it's hard to tell exactly how many are becoming rentals, but a good number of those are becoming rentals. A lot of people, you know, renting homes has always been a mom and pop business. It's always been something that people with means do as an investment. Since the crash, there's been a lot of institutional money, Wall Street money, you know, buying houses, forming companies to manage huge pools of the homes. And their success, in turn, has inspired a lot of other smaller investors and businesses to try to emulate them.
And in terms of people who are renting homes who might otherwise buy homes, a lack of savings appears to be a big part of the puzzle.
You know, $5,000 to $10,000 is a reach for a lot of people. The median savings for the typical renter, now not the type of renters that we focused on, the six-figure earners, but all renters, is a little under $6,000. So people generally are not saving a lot of money. That we can attribute to a lot of student debt. Medical bills, car payments, credit card debt. A lot of Americans are just, especially younger Americans, even if they're earning a high income, might have trouble saving because they're paying for college and they're, you know, paying for the car they needed so that they could get to work. All these things sort of conspire against them being able to save for a down payment.
And it really is a message about the plight of the middle class in the country right now.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, since World War II and maybe a little bit before then, home ownership was sort of the way that most Americans built wealth in the country. So there's a lot of concerns that while, you know, maybe it's not a bad thing if people aren't, you know, diving into home ownership and risking, you know, putting all their savings into a down payment and, you know, then risking a medical incident or something, you know, knocking them into foreclosure and turning their lives upside down. But at the same time, people that are renting aren't getting the, you know, the rise in equity. And they're not, most Americans really only save when they send off their mortgage check each month. And it's sort of an accidental savings mechanism for many.
But back to the high end renters for a moment, the high-end renters in apartments, are investors sort of tracking them and seeing them moving up to another level after that?
Usually the move into homes comes with children. You know, that's sort of the thing where people move out of the city. They want, you know, there's not a lot of like 3-4-bedroom apartments out there. And if there are, they're very expensive. So that's when you get people moving out of the city into the suburbs. They get their nice little, you know, suburban home in the subdivision with the nice school near a park or whatever, you know.
And the iconic white fence.
Yes, exactly. So the big rental home companies, Invitation Homes and American Homes for Rent, which own about, you know, more than 130,000 homes between them, they target that demographic. And their typical tenant earns $100,000 a year household income. It's usually someone in their late 30s. They usually have a child or two or three, a dog, you know, sort of these things that would otherwise compel someone to home ownership and to live in the suburban, sort of live that suburban lifestyle. And now they're renting it instead of buying it.
Is there any sort of a turnaround on the horizon for people hoping to afford a home? Is this trend here to stay of just buying homes being out of reach? Or is there anything on the horizon that represents a glimmer of light?
Well, I think, you know, when we talk to a lot of people, particularly in Denver, one of the things that people told us is they're just waiting for prices to come down. Home prices have surged there. They've doubled in the last, you know, call it 5 years or so. Really astounding home price appreciation. And, you know, I think people that are of that age and of that income, they're sort of at a point in their career and they're old enough. They have the money, but they're just old enough to remember the housing crash and to know sort of the first generation and many to have at the front of their mind that, you know, these things do go down in value. It's not a straight shot up. And so I think some people are apprehensive about paying top dollar and, you know, realizing, okay, if we pay $400,000 or $500,000 for a small house, what if we have children? We have to sell this. What if my job moves me? What if I have to find a new job? And then you're looking at, you know, 10% or more to just the cost to sell the house. And a lot of people we talked to were much more aware than I would have imagined of that. that need to get that appreciation to just break even, then I think that's keeping a lot of people on the sidelines. So if we did see the market cool off, if we did see prices come down a little bit in these high, you know, in these growing cities with high paying jobs, I think we would see the home ownership rate tick up among younger Americans.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Dezember here in our studio. Ryan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.